Thank you. Good morning. It's great for you to see me, and I think anyway. And I thought I'd wear blue today because I still support the Leafs. So anyway, I just want to welcome you this morning, and thank you to the Musos and Pastor Kevin for leading us. We're going to do something a little bit different today. We finished our series last week on skewed views. And the message today is going to be a bridge between skewed views and our new series we're going to launch next week called The Family Factor. And I want to just help challenge us today, and I just love the word that Kevin brought this morning. I think it'll help us. I believe it will help us. You know, often you've heard me pray and I said, Lord, would you not challenge us, encourage us, uplift us? We're going to do all that. But part of my job is actually to challenge us and to realign ourselves often. And so today I want to try and do that with as much love and care as I can. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Now, what test are they talking about? Well, a number of the people in the Corinthian church had more of a worldview than they did of keeping their eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they were of the world and not focused on the Lord, they were saying that if you actually don't follow the Lord and you don't live like you're supposed to, then you will fail the test. Some versions say you will disqualify yourself. I believe this past series that we did on the skewed view was a defining moment and is still a defining moment for many. And I just thank those that preached through the series and brought truth and brought a clear picture. And I just want to suggest that if you missed any piece of it, go back and watch it again. It's all there on YouTube. Go and watch whatever you might have missed. But do so, because Paul writes here and he says, examine yourself. And so the thought came to me when I was preparing, examine yourselves. Am I living the lies that the enemy keeps trying to put into me, keeps attacking my mind with, or am I actually living in the truth? Examine yourself and ask the Lord, Lord, why am I here? What is your purpose and your will for me, Lord? Examine yourself. Examine yourself. Am I a fan or a follower of Christ? Fans walk away, followers will stay true. Examine yourself. Am I actively involved in spiritual warfare, or do I scoff at this notion? Don't be so silly. Examine yourself. Are my emotions healthy emotions, or do my emotions run my life and ruin my life because I allow them to, because I have no self-control? Examine yourself. Are you still hampered by the love of money? Have you discerned correctly? Are you obedient to what the Lord says about our finances? Have you discerned truly where your treasure is? And do you trust God in this area? And those are the six areas we looked at in Skewed Views, and I'm sure there are many, many more. I believe God did not cause COVID, which we've living through and daily walking. I just, this morning, just reminded, Paul says, be content in all things. I'll just be honest. I'm not doing so well in that in many areas, but we keep pushing forward. God didn't cause COVID, but he will use it, though, to help us to take a new look at some of the skewed views that we have and some of the things that we have in life. We are called to remain faithful to the kingdom values more than civil liberties. This has been a time where people have backed down or perhaps walked away or taken a step backward. I think everything that the D category that Pastor Kevin mentioned this morning. Those are the areas. But we have been called to be effective in the kingdom. And so today, a lot of us said, how are you doing? How am I doing? Am I still being effective in the kingdom? Today, as I've said, is a bridge between skewed views and our new series, what we're going to talk about. And so today, I want to talk about building with living stones. Building with living stones. Now, you can take a pile of stones or a bunch of rocks throw them together and build them one on top of the other and see where that takes you. Or we can build according to the pattern. Now, throughout Scripture, there is a God-designed pattern in everything that He sets His mind and heart to build. Whether it was the ark, whether it was the temple, whether it was the courtyard, the place where the sacrifice was, there was always a specific plan and purpose on how that was meant to be built. And for the New Testament church, there is a way in how we build it, and we'll see how we build it with living stones. It's not on the whim and ideas of man, and oh, I've got this new idea. We are to build wisely. We are to build like a true stone builder. We are called and instructed to build well. There is an art in building well. You can't just take a bunch of rocks or stones and pile them on top of each other and think it's going to stand. There is a process in God. And when we submit ourselves to those processes in God, that is when we mature. That's when we grow. That's when we become the true living stones of His body. Now, whilst we are there officers in the church, and elders and deacons and saints, we are all called to lead in some fashion or other. It's the pastor's job. No, we are all called. Have a look at your life and say, what am I called to lead in? And within the church, without the church, we are meant to be living stones wherever we are, not when we gather together before Jesus comes again, I hope. So we need to learn to build together. Ephesians 2:21 says, in Him, in Jesus Christ, in Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We're not talking about a building. We are talking about human buildings now. And in Him, you too are being built together. There is a definite cohesiveness of when God is talking about building together, when Paul is writing to the Ephesians, to become a dwelling in which the Lord, which God lives by His Spirit. As we keep the command, as we keep our common foundation, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, He is the foundation. The whole building, meaning the church, the body of believers, the family of God, of God's people grow together in a beautiful way, is a beautiful thing to behold when it is done well, when it's built well, as a holy temple where God and His Spirit dwells amongst us in His radiance and all of His glory. When we truly live in unity and communion with one another, the whole building, the whole dwelling place, the pattern of Christ's church is described as a building perfectly designed by the great architect, Jesus Christ. It is not a haphazard pile of stones. Well, we'll just put some here, and we'll put some there, and we'll see how it works together. Randomly dumped together. God arranges the living stones, the members of His body, the members of His family, His adopted children. Doesn't matter which way you want to look at it. And He arranges them for His glory and His purpose. I haven't got it today, but 1 Corinthians 12:18, you can go and read that there. We, the church, are a dwelling place, a place where God abides and lives. Not the building. We are that building, that temple. We are His holy temple, set aside by God, for God, to bring glory and honor to God. Now, when we consider the church that Jesus declared that He would build in Matthew 16:18, there's nothing so noble as His church. Why? It is the temple of God. There's nothing so worthy of reverence because it is the dwelling place of God. There's nothing so solid since Jesus Christ is the foundation, the cornerstone of this church. He is the head of the church. There's nothing so perfect and well proportioned because Almighty God is the architect. There's nothing more beautiful than His church because it is adorned with His children. Living stones of every age, every ethnos, every people group from every nation, from every station in life, whether it is the richest or to the humblest, the poorest, whether it is the most succinct mind or to the simplest of believers, it makes no difference. It is the beauty of the collective, the cohesiveness of His church, the living stones. There's nothing more spacious because it is a church, a family that is world-renowned. It is global. It is all called together because of Jesus Christ who live according to His Word and His Spirit. And finally, there's nothing so divine as it is the living building, the living temple, the living body, actioned and inhabited by the Holy Spirit. And that's why we wonder when we get to Ephesians 3:10. When we consider all of the above that we just said, it says now through the church, through this glorious body of members, through these living stones, the manifold wisdom will be revealed. Through His church, His living stones. And you've heard me say this many times before, it's still one of my most favorite scriptures. Through His manifold, the polyoikolos, the Greek word, has the idea of the magnificence of a weaving of bright colors, of many hues of different nations together, forming this tapestry called the church, which is arrayed in its intricacy and complexity of people groups and the great beauty of these living stones. And it says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be revealed. His infinite and glorious wisdom that He wants to reveal to the world through His church, His chosen vehicle, the church of His Son, Jesus Christ. We, the church, are called to something way beyond simple salvation and far greater than our individual peoples. It was far greater beyond that. It is called to be the means by which God reveals the world, the revelation of His Son, Jesus Christ. We are called to build God-fearing and God-honoring families and communities by building with living stones. Each stone lovingly and caringly placed in this wall, fashioned and formed by Jesus Christ, acknowledging there is an art in building this wall. It's not just dumping stones together. Why? Because we've already seen that God arranges the people as He chooses them to be arranged. We also have to understand that one size doesn't fit all. The fine tunings of the Holy Spirit as we build, not cookie cutter churches and definitely not cookie cutter people. We strive for unity and meaning. When we talk of unity, we don't run from the battle. We run together to the sound of the battle, to the noise of the battle. We run together. Yet in that same unity, there is diversity. Diversity of peoples, of different personalities, different gifts, different abilities, different capacities, yet all celebrated together, celebrating the diversity of these living stones shaped and molded by God. Well, where do you get all this stuff from? I'm so glad you asked. 1 Peter 2:4 says, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, He's talking to us now, you yourselves, look at someone and say, you yourself, there you go, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And you can also reference Romans 12 verses 1 and 2, a living sacrifice pleasing to God, offering these our spiritual sacrifices to Him. Now, sometimes churches are not always as this beautifully as I've described it this morning. Sometimes that people are jostling for position, jostling for places, trying to outdo one another and place themselves ahead of one another. We are living stones, but we're not perfect. And we're going to come to that revelation. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. And I often say, Jesus wasn't just sitting and like, well, I don't know what else to say to the guys. You know, there's something else I should say to these disciples of mine. I think there was a purpose and a plan in everything that he said. His claim and his statement is vitally important for us to grasp this kingdom declaration. He builds his church. We get to partner with him and we get to find out what his intention is for this great and glorious church. It doesn't matter who you are in the church, whether you're an elder, if you're a saint, if you're a deacon, you're on leadership. We are family bonded together by Holy Spirit. One thought, one mind, focused on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:10 says, according to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. And someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus already laid the foundation. We don't have to reinvent the wheel, as it were. We just have to stand and follow Jesus. Christ is the foundation. He is the builder of the church. We are the Great Commission. We are those that are commissioned and supernaturally enabled by the Holy Spirit living in us to go and affect and extend the kingdom. We get the privilege of expanding or extending his kingdom wherever we go. Jesus is in the construction business. If we're talking about stones and buildings, if Jesus today had a construction company, it would probably, his van logo would be like Jesus and Sons Construction Company. And we would be the sons and the daughters that we are part of his construction company. We are chosen to partner with him with the great architect. Can you imagine this? Jesus chose us to partner with him. Looked down from heaven with his father and said, Dad, let's do this. Let's get them to partner with us. We are the chosen ones. We are set apart, the ecclesia, the called out ones. What a privilege. You should be excited about this by now. I trust you are. We are chosen to use our hands and feet for the sake of expanding this amazing kingdom. Natural stone walls. I mean, there's a beautiful picture that Jess chose there for me, but my brother lives in Kentucky, and I've been through a number of times. The natural stone walls there, built hundreds of years ago, are still standing today. They are a beauty to watch and to see. They're a magnificent piece of structure and architecture. Just stone laid on top of one another, but lovingly and carefully put down. Stonemasons know exactly how to chip away at the rough rocks to artistically fashion and shape them to fit in into a specific part of the wall and how they make it all fit and connect together. The stonemason lovingly chips away with care and technique. You know, we have to understand there's a difference in building. You know, I come from in South Africa, we build with bricks. You know, same length, same width, same depth, same height, everything. Just that's your brick. It's boring. But we are living stones, fashioned and shaped by the Father. We found ourselves in the hands of the loving Master, the Master Builder, one who he will chip away the rough edges that we have. And sometimes there needs to be a little bit of sandpaper and a little bit of processing so that we could fit into the wall that he has designed us to fit into the place and the position he has designed us for. You know, leaders are called to take and shape people into the wall lovingly and caringly, place them into the wall, build the wall. The point of what I'm talking about is building with living stones. We as the body of Christ are building this magnificent temple to Him. Unfortunately, sometimes some stones just don't want to fit. They don't want to fit into the wall. Doesn't matter how much you chip away and you knock away, they resist the chipping and the sanding process. They won't submit themselves in the process, and they make it difficult. And that's not just within the church, that's without the church. It applies to our church family, but our family at large, husbands and wives, children, not allowing the process of maturing to take place, resistant to the cohesiveness of family, husbands and wives not following the pattern of loving one another, children not obeying their parents, parents exasperating your children. It's difficult to try and build your wall at home and in the church when we are not cohesive and we're not following the pattern. Nehemiah and his team, remember we did that whole series, Nehemiah, and when he was trying to build the walls and again repair the gates, we understand there is a price and a privilege of building his wall. Nehemiah 4, verse 1. Now when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall, he was angry and greatly enraged, and he jeered at the Jews. Anybody ever mock you because you're trying to build family a certain way? And he said in the presence of his brothers and of the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore it for themselves? That's where they got it all wrong, because they were not building their wall, they were building God's wall. Will they sacrifice? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps, these burned stones, the heaps of rubbish and burned ones at that? Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, yes, what are they building? If a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Now, just like in your family and in our family, our togetherness, you know, we each are our individual families, but we are the greater family of God. And sadly, often people don't get that. They still want to live in their isolated family and forget about the larger family together. And sometimes you build in genuine faith, and every now and then when opposition comes, the wall crumbles a little bit. And it's like, I'm reminded of when we were kids and we used to go down to the beach and we used to build sandcastles. But we were kids. We didn't know that the wave was going to come. And we would build right by the water's edge because there the sand was more muddy as it was. And then we'd build this and take our buckets and thing and put flags in and build this. And then the water would come in and wash it away. How disappointing is that? And then we go, look, Mommy. And I don't think any parent ever told the kids, don't build it near the water. I was like, what? The problem is that when you build and the frustration, Kevin was talking about this morning, you can feel when you pour into the building of this family unit and the stones won't stick or they won't fit. And when the wave comes in, waves of opposition that we face daily, and they destroy what you're trying to build. We love the greatness of the success stories. However, in this, there are real human feelings that we're talking about here that take place. When husbands and wives, their kids give it all they've got. They're all in. They're doing what they're, and the enemy comes with his wave. That's disappointing. That's depressing. That's discouraging. And leads to spiritual death. We have to learn to stand and be effective for the kingdom. What frustration there is, but it is a privilege to be called by the King, to serve the King, and to build his wall. What if your wall crumbles with a little bit of weight on it? Yeah, I know scripture says foxes, but let's think about squirrels. All over Canada, we still love to see them. I know Bridget still likes to feed them. But we love to pour our hearts and our resources into it. There is a price and a privilege to building the King's wall. We want to build according to the Father's purpose and plan, building a spiritual house. that will glorify the God at the bridge. That's what we're talking about. Building materials that the stone mason has. The analogy of the church, the people that have come through the church. We must build well with what we have. One of the greatest tools we have is the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. With our relationships, our connectivity, the word that we said right at the beginning is to stay connected. I encourage you, get connected. Stay connected to one another. Too often the church has become just a place where we come on a Sunday and get our spiritual groove on for an hour or so. But we are meant to have a worshipful lifestyle 24/7. We are connected. Some people are only connected when their stone is polished all the time. Oh, you're a great guy, you're a great girl. They feel important because we're polishing their stone. We need some maturity because you need to polish other people's stones too. Sadly, some people see coming to church on a Sunday as just something that's added on. A concert mentality. We need a move of the church of Jesus Christ. We need a move of the Holy Spirit amongst us that says, I want to be part of building this wall. I want to effectively see this church rise and take its place in our community, in our families. So I want to draw some analogies. That was just the introduction, by the way. I want to draw some analogies of what kinds of different living stones there are. And this is where I get to the morning, I get to challenge a little bit. There are different types of stones. Now, these are the stones that God uses to build His church, His wall. And you might ask yourself, what kind of stone am I? I only have eight. There could be many more. Number one, broken stones. These are those people who come, their lives are messed up. And often not because of their own gain. They're not even aware that they've been called to be a living stone. They don't understand the kingdom. At one time at all, we were all broken stones, not members of the household of God or the building of God. Ephesians says we were disobedient, we were children of wrath, and then Jesus Christ found us. We didn't find Jesus. We need, those broken stones need a revelation of the love of Christ. To come to the chief cornerstone, Jesus, and be willing to be built into His wall, into this amazing kingdom of God, to be adopted into His family. And if you are one of those stones today, we would love to pray with you. You can connect us through our website. And we would love to introduce you to the person of Jesus Christ. The second stone we have is I call the rolling stones. They're a rolling stone because they get no satisfaction. Some people will get that. Some of the younger people maybe not. Some visitors come in and they declare loudly and boldly, God sent me here. And this was an answer to prayer. I love being with this body of believers. Well, then they roll in, and sometimes they roll right over you while they're rolling in as they come through. You know, and when you're planting a church, when you're starting, you want all kinds of stones. You're desperate for those stones. Please stay. You can be as no satisfaction as you like, but please just stay. But the problem is they roll in, and then they roll out because they got no satisfaction where they were, although God told them to come. And then they roll on and they roll out and they move on to the next church and they arrive there and they still have no satisfaction. The next one I call is the testing stone. They really want to just test everything. They use religious slogans as part of their speech to support who they are and why they are here, like, I love it when people start every conversation with God told me, but then you look at the word and it's got nothing to do with God told them. You know, it's like some people when they go to purchase a motor car or a vehicle, the salesman will call them tire kickers. They don't really intend to buy, but they're looking. So they go and they kick some tires, they test them, and then they complain about everything that the car has to offer. And they, no, it hasn't got this, it didn't do that, it hasn't got that. And go, yeah, but this is the cheaper model. If you pay for the more expensive model, it'll have all that stuff. They don't really want to make a commitment. They come into the church and they kick some tires. They test everything. Well, the worship was too long or too loud, especially the drummer. Kids' church, yeah, it was okay. It was sort of okay. Well, the preacher, he just went on and on and on. Well, they meet you afterwards and then they want to give you another 10 scriptures that you didn't use. Well, I wasn't greeted properly. You know, the greeting team, they just didn't greet me properly. They become critical about everything you do. These are the testing stones. They normally don't stay very long, even though when they first walked in, they said, God told me to come here, and this was an answer to prayer. Then he changed his mind, and he told them to leave again. How are we doing? Then we have what I call the slogan stone. They check your website out and they read about everything that you've written. They read everything that you say. You know, we don't have it in ours. Jess, if we do, please take it off. Come as you are. You know, that's a great idea. The problem is they want to come as they are, but they don't want to stay, change the way they are. They don't want to change. They just want to be as they are. And they come, you know, our slogan, at the bridge, we connect all people to encounter God's word and spirit. Man, that is amazing. I love that. But they don't want to live that way. They don't want to live what the intention of doing God's way, good thing, God's way, God's word, His spirit. They simply just love the slogans. We have to understand we are family. We love the idea, but please don't ask me to do anything in this family. I just love the slogans. Number five. What are called the reformer stones. They come with some experience, perhaps even leadership. They have the greatest or newest revelations always. And they want to reform you as a leader or in whatever area in the ministry of the church you might lead. Or they want to reform the pastors and the elders, and they want to reform the leaders in the church. They want to grab a coffee and tell you everything that you're doing wrong. And that you need to change whatever part of the wall that you're building they don't see eye to eye with. That's not. And if I could be so bold to say, these are not just cool ideas, these are people that we've actually met. So I'm speaking the truth here. They want to tell the people who have leadership potential yet want to lead people to themselves and not to Christ. They are very dangerous people in the kingdom. We need to understand. You know, once a friend of mine speaking about a leader, and he quoted the leader more than he quoted Jesus. And for me, that's a dangerous sign. If you're quoting a leader, a man, more than you're quoting Jesus, that's a dangerous place to be in. Number six, burnt stones. These people are war-weary. They've been through a bit. Now, a couple of years ago when Mark Henshaw came, he prophesied that we would have burnt stones. And the times we were like, okay, well, what does that look like? And then we saw it happen. Some people came in who had been on leadership and we recognized they needed healing and love and restoration and caring. And some stayed and are still with us and some left. And I had to have the revelation. Then Mark Henshaw said they would come, they would be burnt stones, they would need restore and love. He didn't say they would all stay. And so I had to get that revelation for myself, that these people are battered and broken through life and sometimes by the church, sadly to say. We need to treat them well, love them, and often they just need space to tell their stories. We love on them. Then we have what I call loose stones. These stones are in every single community. They are the real term is probably spectators. No matter how much you encourage, no matter you reveal to them the potential that they have in Christ, that you as a leadership see, that as God sees, that they are the child of a king, and how wonderfully they're made, and how, etc., etc., how gifted they are, how capacitated they are. They're simply happy to be here and just sit in the back row. They will attend when it's convenient for them, and occasionally they'll offer to help and do something. But they will never allow themselves to be cemented into the wall. Sadly, you can't really build or lean on those kind of stones. And then the last one, and maybe you're all by now going, oh, please help us, Lord Jesus, we need some relief here. These are what I call the gemstones. They arrive truly believing God has sent them here. They immediately get set into the wall. Some have moved locations, some have had job transfers, some have genuinely heard God's voice to move, and we pray for them and we invite them. They leave the church they were in well. They speak to their leadership. They leave well. They come here and they join well. They come to build and to bless. They say, here I am. What can I put my hands to? What have you got to do? How can I help build this? They are passionate about the things we are passionate. They are kingdom-minded people. They want to see Jesus Christ arise. They want to see the move of the Holy Spirit in a deeper way. They are all in from day one. They are faithful. They are available. They are teachable. They are servant-hearted. They are humble, ready and willing no matter what. And these gemstones, even when the winds blow and the rain comes and the wave comes and batters the wall, the more opposition, they seem to just hunker down and take that glue, the Holy Spirit, and just let it set them in even tighter. And the beauty about these kind of people is as if these living stones take their hands and they reach out and they grab other people and they hunker down with them and they bring strength to them. And they strengthen those that are feeling a little bit wobbly even, those that are connected. Now all these stones, one or two other, will come through the body of a believer. And we have to dispense God's grace, His mercy, and His love towards them in dealing well with all of them. Now, by now we should say, well, how do we cement living stones into this wall, into the wall? How do we do that? Well, we do it through our relationships, through our family. I cannot emphasize this enough. Some churches will call it community. Some people will call it the body of believers. I love to call it family because that's how I see us, as family. Creating opportunities to be part of this wall. Our relationship with one another, our connectedness with one another, our trust in one another, and encouraging one another to be part of the wall. So what I did is I did a little graph chart. I put that up, and I looked through it all, and if I could just be your pastor and just be honest, if you cannot find a place here to fit into this wall, there's something wrong with you. Did I say that? Yeah. Thank you. I can hear you all at home saying amen. Being part of our prayer meetings, our connect groups, our services, our gatherings, our togetherness. If you're on the other side of 65, legends, frontline, the men's ministry, sparkle, ladies, youth and young adults, ignition, elevate, bridge kids, beyond. Freedom session, hospitality, music and media, ushering and greeting. I was terrified I left something off. But there's a place here to be a living stone, to be cemented in, to be connected, to serve, to exercise your gift, to go beyond yourself, to giving life to your gift that you... Well, I don't know what I'm doing. Look at the list and pray and say, Lord, where can I serve? Now, I know you're going, well, why are you preaching this message? We can't even get together in the church. Well, because I want to be prophetic. I'm looking forward to the day we can be together again and we can come in and be excited about this. Now, of course, there are those who will leave our wall. And there are a couple of stones like that. So how do we deal with those that leave our wall? Because it does happen. You know, like the gemstones? These stones I call the sent stones. A true blessing. They are sent. They are released by the leaders. They might get a job transfer. I know people in this church who had job transferred, spoke to us, we prayed together, and they turned the job transfer down because they felt this is where God had called them to. Perhaps you're going to go want to plant a church or support a plant, a church plant. They leave the wall and go and become gemstones in the next wall. It's not the leave and go and just arb at home because we don't know what to do now. They've discussed it with leadership. They've asked for a perspective on their decision. They've humbled themselves. They've prayed it through with the leaders. They are a blessing to be sent, and wherever they go, they are a blessing. Then we have what I call the silent stones. They've been part of the family in various degrees, and then silently they disappear. Silently. They ghost you. They ghost us. They're MIA, week one, week two, week three. And then we call, and then they find and they proudly tell you, well, no, we've left the church. They haven't said anything to anyone, not even their closest friend that they find in the church. Yet, we deal graciously with them. Sadly, they never, ever understood family. Then, of course, there's the noisy stones. They also leave, but not so silently. They're often opinionated people who will make a loud noise about how they disagree with everything, your vision, your values, what you're preaching, what you're teaching with the leadership, etc., etc. Pick something. They'll sit down at coffee or fellowship time, as we love to call it, and they'll spew their poison of what a terrible job we as a body of believers are doing. It might not even be aimed at the leader, but I'm telling you, the wind always blows the strongest at the top. They suggest they should leave, then they leave with a trail of destruction behind them. Then these are good stones, the graduates. Now, the graduates, there's not much we can do about them leaving the church. Why? Because they move on to be with the Lord. They graduate to glory. They go on to glory. We celebrate the sent ones and the graduates. Through God's grace, we still deal with the silent ones and the noisy ones and with the other categories with love, grace, and firmness, true to Christ. Responsibility of elders, especially, is to govern, to guard, and to guard the sheep into all that God has for them. And those that God sends us, doesn't matter what kind of a stone they are, God sends us. And now there's a final category, which is a very dangerous category, as I call the dividers. They also leave loudly, but instead of just leaving loudly and making a noise about it, they try to take others with them. And wherever they go, they gather people to themselves. They're not gathering and leading them to Christ, they're gathering people to themselves. And they want to cause what we call a splant. They want to split the church and plant their own thing. They want to do their own thing. It's a heartbreaking moment for the body of believers at the time and the leadership. And these are a very ungodly group of stones, if I could be that bold to say it. Now the question, finally, is how living with different stones? How do we live with these different stones? In everything that we've looked at, our heart is always to follow the path of Jesus, to stay true to His Word and His Spirit. We commence this message with 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. We want everybody who calls the bridge their home to be healthy, living stones, actively breathing and bringing glory and honor to Jesus Christ. No matter what stone you identified with this morning, if you did that, there's always an opportunity to change and be part of the great wall of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to be a living stone in His wall. And all in expanding His kingdom. As Peter writes, you yourselves are like living stones are being built into us up as a spiritual house. living with different stones, 1 Corinthians 12, we need to understand why I place so much emphasis on family. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Meaning, we all have gifts and talents. We all are called to be living stone built into the spiritual house. But at the same time, we do all of this for the common good of everyone around us. So I'm just going to read a number of scriptures to end this off with, and you can follow me. I'm not going to try and expound on it because I think it's clear enough. This is how we deal with all living stones. Romans 12:9. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. If you want to be competitive, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We are to be built as living stones, bringing glory and honor to the King. You know, the fraternal, the pastors around the city here, when we gather together, and we often say, let Durham be a hard place to go to hell from. And we build our families, we build your individual family, but we have to take oversight of the family gathered together. Where there's 8 or 9 families here this morning, they have families by blood in their own families, but we are the family covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the family adopted into the greatest family there is ever to be. We are called to be living stones, growing and sharing, finding our space on the wall as we put up that diagram. Find your space on the wall to be part of. God bless you. May his face shine upon you. Be glorified in his name. Amen.